But I think that you're looking at it from the perspective of you have to love it and be willing to risk it.
Right.
If you're not willing to risk it, who the hell are you? Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sell or Die podcast, the global premier personal development and sales podcast on the planet. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling and my newest book, The Sales Manifesto.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, author of Sales in a New York Minute. We are interviewing leaders in business, sales, and personal development to give you the strategies it takes to make more sales and make more money.
Strategies that you can take out into the street and turn into money 1 minute after you hear them.
In a manifesto moment?
Well, no, more like in a New York Minute.
Oh, thank you to all the diehards out there supporting us with listens and 5-star reviews.
Be a star on Sell or Die. Leave your own review. Come on. Go to your computer right now. Go to iTunes right now and write down, type down, talk down exactly how you feel about this podcast and how it might affect others.
All right. I want you to enjoy today's show. Take notes and tell us what you think on our Sell or Die Hard official Facebook group.
All right, let's get to it. It's time to sell or die. Today we are privileged to have with us a live guest, which I think is
better than
becoming
dead.
A norm. No, it's becoming a norm now. People come to the studio.
I love when you guys fly in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Down just for you.
Aww.
And he comes from Rochester, New York, so half the population is now here in Charlotte.
I have a Rochester Rochester t-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
But it's the home of more bankrupt Fortune 500 companies than any city on the planet. Xerox went to hell.
That's our tagline these days.
That what it is? Eastman Kodak went to hell.
But here's the cool thing.
Bosch and Lohm, they still there?
They're still there.
Oh, wow.
Paychecks is still there.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
But with all those companies going to hell, David has been a serial entrepreneur for the past 20 years.
Whoa.
Maybe more than 20 years.
Yeah,
so
95.
What cereal?
Well, 1995.
What cereal do you eat?
I don't really eat cereal. Doesn't agree with me too well. No.
Wow. So you're not really a really cereal entrepreneur. You might be like a
coffee. He is a cereal entrepreneur.
I'm more like an eggs and avocado
Benedict
toast
entrepreneur.
Cool. I love it. All right. So he started 7 businesses from scratch, and he thrives on starting and growing businesses.
Cool. And right now he's into it. So ladies and gentlemen and diehards all over the world, please welcome the great David Mamano.
Well, thank you very much. Honored to be here.
We're glad you're here.
So, David, you have named your company Avanti.
Yes.
And I grew up when Avanti was like the coolest car on the planet.
Yep.
Made by Studebaker, which is, they went the way of all winds. But it was like the car.
Right.
It was the Maserati of its day.
Yep.
And did you name it after this car?
No, it's funny.
Oh.
So
I'm gonna
Google it. We were talking last night, Jeffrey, that I think if you're like over 50-ish, you know Avanti as the car.
Or
right?
Over 60-ish.
Yeah, or over 60-ish. And if you're like younger than 40, right? Like
you have no idea.
What
right.
is it? Yeah. So yeah, it was a last ditch effort of Studebaker to be cool, right?
And it's this car?
It was called the Avanti car. Yeah.
What's wrong with that? It was a cool car.
It's a good looking car back in the
day. Everyone wanted one.
Yeah.
Everybody
was it
wants
it. This too?
Yeah.
Okay, that one's shiny.
I have a little motto one on my desk.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but in today's world for my company, Avanti in Italian means move forward.
Oh, I wonder if that's why they named the car that.
Well, it was probably, you know, trying to get back. Then they went to Nova, which meant no go in Mexico.
They went from Nova, move forward to move sideways to move backwards. That was pretty much what happened there.
Yep.
And they couldn't cut it in the marketplace because lower priced cars came out. It was popular at the same time that they launched the Mustang. And for $2,000, you could buy a car, or $3,000, you could buy a car. But for $25,000, you could buy an Avanti.
Wow. Yep. Okay, so we now understand your origin of your company name. And what is it that your company does?
So, great question. So, Avanti, I mean, that's just my nature in general, right? Very positive, always trying to move forward. You know, we all, especially entrepreneurs, we're always getting, you know, just we're rocky in the ring, right? I'm getting beat up by the Russian guy every day, right? And, you know, sales, entrepreneur, we got to get back up and move forward no matter what, right? So what I decided to do, name my company Avanti, is because what we do is we help entrepreneurs start businesses and grow businesses, right? So I have my own podcast, which, you know, you guys, you've been on, Jeffrey, about a year and a half ago, and we're going to record new episodes with you guys. And but so podcast, I have a lot of events, right? I have, we have coaching programs. And then what really has happened in Rochester is we've created peer groups, right? So these mastermind groups, almost like a Vistage or an EO, Entrepreneurs Organization, but for more small business entrepreneurs, you know, like Vistage. It's great, but you know, their company's doing $10 million and they want to go to $50 million. So what I've kind of created a mini, I'll say an EO or a Vistage for more of the small business entrepreneur.
Cool. Right.
It's not 50.
And you
grand
did it for your geographic region, or is it all over the?
Well, great question. So we've done it in Rochester. We have a little over 60 members in Rochester now. The goal is next year to get that up to 200, right? So just really thriving chapter. And we've started chapters in Buffalo, Toronto, Burlington, in New Jersey. And they're just getting started, right?
What's the one in New Jersey called? Exit fucking five.
That's it. No, a great guy named Dave Ragosa, and he's in Monmouth. How do you say that? Monmouth?
Yeah, Monmouth.
So he's in that area.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
for those of you listening, it's actually exit seven.
Oh, exit seven. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you know it well.
Of course.
I don't know the exits.
I know all exits in Philly. We're exit four in Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then, well, my.
But people, if you're really from New Jersey, people will say, and they know you're from New Jersey, the first thing they say is, what exit? Right. And I say, exit one.
For those of you just listening, Jeffrey flicks up his middle finger with a one at the same time. There's your image.
Classic Jeffrey, yeah.
But that's the challenge of understanding the Northeast, as you well know. It's just a different environment. Yeah. It's a different business environment.
Yeah. So do you find, because you're meeting all these entrepreneurs, that they're having the same challenges, the same issues over and over again, or are they totally different from each other?
Well, I'll say the overwhelming majority are experiencing a similar challenge is that, you know, they feel alone, right? Because they're beginning, right? I mean, they're beginning to middle stage entrepreneurs, even if they have some employees. Their employees aren't waking up at 3 a.m. worried about payroll, et cetera. So the common thing is just a feeling of like, I'm going at it alone. So what we try to do, like our events, you know, the first hour will be, you know, beer, wine, hors d'oeuvres, networking, right? Just collaborating, talking, building relationships and friendships. And then I'll bring in a speaker. The peer groups, these monthly, you know, entrepreneur therapy, some people call it, right? Mm-hmm. Just to get together with other people that know what you're going through. Mm-hmm. Like I could watch the Buffalo Bills game with my buddy, chicken wings, beer, have a great time. But if I start talking to him about personnel issues and sales issues, he's going to look at me like I have five heads, right? So like you can't always talk to your friends about this stuff. So that's what's nice about other peers. They know what you're going through.
They don't call them buffalo wings in Buffalo. They just call them wings.
They just call them wings.
Because you're in Buffalo.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Just wings.
Yeah.
Good point. They came from Buffalo. Anchor Bar. Yep.
So the challenge that you have when you're trying to herd entrepreneurs together is they're busy. They got meetings. They got kids. They got families. They're risking everything to be on their own. How do you deal with them from a standpoint of getting them all to come to the same meeting at the same time on the same day?
That's funny you say that. That's probably the biggest challenge, right? That's what gives me my gray hairs, right? Because you're an entrepreneur.
Several people have been late.
Right. Yes. Yes. I am 50 now, so they're coming. They're coming strong.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think entrepreneurs just in general tend to be manic and ADD and getting, you know, it's like a slippery chicken, right? Trying to get any entrepreneur, and then especially a beginning stage entrepreneur, right? They're chief cook, bottle washer, maybe the families, et cetera. That's the biggest challenge, right? Or the opportunity. So I just try to make the value so strong where they come to a peer meeting, they're walking away with something like, oh my God, that's just what I needed. Mm-hmm. Or an event like that speaker was like, that was worth $1 million if I implement that, right?
The most interesting thing about the whole entrepreneurial process, you go back to .com, where they were giving people millions of dollars to do anything. They would, quote, staff up. Yeah. They forgot about sales,
right?
Which is why they died.
They just had all this investor money, right?
But they had, right, but they had this burn rate. And what it said was, we only have 78 days to live based on the money that we have right now. And when we run out of that, we're dead.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, now's the time to make a sale.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's not great motivation to the team to say, we've got 78 days to live, right?
But yeah, that's what they did. Yeah, they literally, yeah, they had their own death clock.
Yeah.
So when you're talking to these entrepreneurs, they're scared.
Yeah.
You know, they only have a limited amount of money. It's not like it's Bill Gates opening up a donut shop.
Right.
It's some lady opening up a donut shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I have to tell you the funniest thing ever, but I can't tell you on the radio.
Mm-hmm. Even you. Well, come on.
Well,
it's supposed to be bad.
I know, right?
I was in Rochester.
No, don't tell us.
Yeah.
I was in Rochester a bunch of times.
Uh-huh.
Because there was a sports dealer in West Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, he said Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, he had everything. His father was a big collector.
Yeah.
And I literally would fly to Rochester to buy stuff from this guy. That's how good it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right next door to his place was a donut shop.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable, as you know, in Rochester, everyone's a little heavy.
Right.
And I'd go to this guy's shop and I go, you got to let me go next door to the donut shop.
Right.
So I go.
Yeah.
And there's an old, old lady at the store.
Probably an old Italian lady, right?
And she, and I, yeah, and she goes, can I help you? I said, yeah, I want the best fucking donuts in Rochester.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, I apologize for my language. And she goes, Sonny, I've said it and I've done it.
I love it. I love it. Sounds like Rochester.
That was fine.
You sure?
Proof. Okay. I was okay. Nervous.
We don't have to edit
time.
That out, like, right?
Yeah. Where is he going with this? Ah! Yeah.
I was howling.
Yeah.
I mean, I was literally on the floor laughing from this lady.
She went up to
you. You just never would expect it. She was like crinkled up. You know what I mean?
Right. I've said anyway. It and I've done it many times.
I love that. I love that. So I would imagine also, like, I've worked with a lot of small business owners, and it's harder for them to part with their money in terms of making an investment because it feels like it's their money, not like a separate thing from the business money.
And they're guarding it.
Yeah.
Because they know there's a limited supply.
Right.
Well, I don't believe there's a limited supply, just for the record. We are very abundant in this world.
I understand that. But if you're not a salesperson at heart, you may not have the confidence that you can gain this revenue
exactly.
in order to be able to make it happen. I grew up in a family of salespeople, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
Jen grew up in a family of salespeople. She's fine. I literally, we both grew up where all of the people who visited our home owned their own business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in your blood, huh?
It's a blessing.
So what do you say to those people, and how do you help them understand that this is like investing in yourself to grow your business? Like, how do you make that connection?
Well, I think first and foremost, they're focusing on the wrong thing, right? If they're focusing on their limited funds and not wanting to part with it, they're not going to go anywhere. They're going to stay in that world of limited funds. What they do need to focus on is what you're just kind of hinted to, is the abundance of money out there and how to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what they need to focus on. And if they're not a salesperson, they either need to learn how to be quickly, read the Little Red Book of Selling, New York Minute, right? Come on. Or find somebody that can sell, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way, right?
That's a bad panacea. I need to find a salesperson. No. You need to be a salesperson.
Well, I agree. I mean, I agree.
To find a salesperson.
Right. Well, here's the thing. If you're a small business owner, no one is going to be as passionate about your product
correct.
Or service.
Right. That's correct.
Than
yeah.
you.
Yep. Well, and then part two of that is making, scheduling, like putting it in your schedule, the time to sell. Because a small business owner, it's so easy to get distracted,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you know, there's a story about the hot dog vendor that went out of business, you know, making the cart look nice, never sold a hot dog, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
you gotta sell. You gotta schedule it because it's easy
I'm ready.
To get sucked in.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, where do the people go? Well, the parade's over.
I mean, you could go on Facebook and email, and you, before you know it, the day's gone, right? You could be tidying up your office and going out to lunch with your mother. No, you know, like, you know what? Today from 9 to 2, that's all I'm doing is selling and making that focus time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, I got to go sell.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, this is time because, you know, I'm going to bring such a big, you know, big audience that they're going to buy a lot of your products.
Right?
For those of you who are working on your business, and there's the whole bullshit about e-myth about working on your business or working in your business. I don't buy either one. I think you have to do both in order to be able to. Yeah. I don't need the aha moment of, hey, I'm working. There's no distinction. You're either working or you're not working.
Right. Yeah.
So in 1954, if you can think back that far, my dad and his brother owned a machine shop, Marmack Industries. My dad's name is Max. My uncle's name is Marty. Mm-hmm. Marmack. That's how all Jews had their business like that.
Right. What are our names?
Gloron is, yeah. My grandfather visited my dad's factory because they would go out, get an order, come back, make it, and go out and get another order. Yeah. And my grandfather walks in the factory. There's two people in the factory, my father and his brother. And he calls my father over. And my father's like covered in oil. He said, "What are you doing, son?" He goes, "I'm making this order." He said, "You hire somebody tomorrow, son, and you put on a suit and you go sell. That's your job, sales." Yeah. And my father obeyed. Like when he told me the story, he said, and I obeyed my dad. And I went to the Frankfurt Arsenal the next day in Philadelphia. I didn't know anybody and left with an order for $100,000.
In the 1950s.
Yeah. Which would, like, which would, yeah. Which,
like 2 million today or something.
Oh, right? Yeah, easily.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the lesson is, if you're really going to be working in the business, then you sell first and figure everything else out second.
Right. Yeah. First, you can figure out the orders. Right?
Yeah, my dad said, first collect the money, then figure out what you got to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay.
Right. Yeah, no, it's great advice. My first job out of college was in radio sales, and I was getting caught up in the minutia of BS, right? And my boss was like, go out.
What's their arbitron rating?
Yeah. 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 Exactly. He's like, just go sell. Get direct sales. We'll figure it out. Right.
Yeah.
And I remember that. I'm like, just we'll figure it out. We'll stay up till 10 at night. Whatever we got to do. Working, we'll figure it out. Just go sell. That's, you know, there's never a problem having too many sales. Right. We'll figure that out.
Ever.
I love it.
No one ever. Well, actually, that's not true. I was going to say nobody ever went broke with too many sales on the books. But sometimes you can outsell your capacity, not deliver, and lose the business. And that's...
Well, that's if you can't figure it out.
Yeah, but that's a dear God problem.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Dear God, please bring me too many sales where I can't figure it out.
Yeah, just don't worry about that right now, small business entrepreneur.
Just go get money.
Yeah, just go
get money.
Just go sell.
So, we're talking about like the necessity to sell, but some of these small business owners are terrified of selling.
Yeah.
And so how do you help them? What do you tell them?
Well, we'll bring in speakers and content that help. In fact, we should bring you guys up to Ra-Cha-Cha and see if that donut.
I don't know if we could take the cut and pay, Jen.
I'm not going in the winter, just FYI.
We'll have you in the fall. It's gorgeous. Okay. It's gorgeous. But essentially, a lot of it is just the training is out there, right? You guys provide great training. The training is out there. It's just a matter of, you know, good old Eleanor Roosevelt, do something that scares you every day, right? Mm-hmm. I know it scares the shit out of you, but go out and do it. It's not going to kill you, right? It's not going to kill you. Go out there and start small. Make 5 sales calls. Tomorrow, make 10, right? And see what happens. You're going to get some sales. You build the confidence, and before you know it, you got some revenue.
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish Coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? Here's the message. Bob, you started this business. Mary, started this business. You believe in this business, don't you? I mean, this is your passion.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to teach you how to transfer your belief. Mm-hmm. because if I can teach you to transfer your belief, the other person will buy. I didn't mention the word sales.
I think also, like, people think sales is such like a dirty word. Like, it's a, like a bad thing if you're going to sell someone. Like, yeah, like you think immediately of like
of a pushy
car
person. Yeah.
Lot, you know?
Yeah. Well, why would you think of a car? I don't understand that. Those guys are like the nicest people on the planet.
Yeah.
They've never been pushy in their lives.
I don't know.
Like, right, people think like, oh, sales, it's so slimy.
For those of you listening, you want to go to Sales Badger on YouTube and
it's
watch a Johnson Motor Company from Raleigh and watch this cartoon guy who's a literally a badger. We're going to do a deal.
What's it going to take?
Right? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Ma'am, we'll wait till your husband gets here.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Who's making the decision?
That's what you have to understand, that the reason that's so funny is that it's true.
Yeah.
And there's, you have to be a salesperson who can create a buying atmosphere rather than try to push your product.
Right. Well, and if you love your product,
right,
then it's helping people, and you firmly believe that in your heart.
Then it's time to transfer.
Right, exactly. Right. And then it's like, quote unquote, not even like selling, because you're just helping. You're just helping people,
right?
Right? And who doesn't want to be helped, right? I mean, if I can help you grow your business, why wouldn't you give me a shot?
Oh,
exactly.
You know? If I know for sure that what I do for you is going to make you more money, make you a better person, better, et cetera, give it a shot. You know, what do you got to lose, right? You know?
And the entrepreneur has to have the ability to withstand risk. And they don't have that, you know, if you're thinking right now, like, for example, if you have a side hustle, something which I can't stand, by the way, if you have a side hustle and you're out there trying to, you're actually showing your belief. Mm-hmm. I hope, as a whatever your age group is, that if you have a side hustle that you love it, mm-hmm, not that it's just making you a few extra bucks.
Right.
Like, well, I drive an Uber. No, that's not a side hustle. That's a stupid job.
Right.
What you want to be able to, or unless you're trying to meet a millionaire in the back seat.
Right.
If you're driving an Uber X, it's probably not going to happen. You want to drive the black one. You know, you get the, okay.
Yeah, that's the high end, yeah.
But I think that you're looking at it from the perspective of you have to love it and be willing to risk it.
Right.
If you're not willing to risk it, you're, who the hell are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And go back. Tell me about your risk. Tell me about a risk you took that panned out.
Well, I would say my first business way back in 1995, I had an idea for a magazine that would help high school students with college and career and life planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working in radio for 3 years, like my bosses, but just hated working for people, like the entrepreneurial.
Yep, I know the feeling.
Was busting out.
Yeah.
So quit my real job and started this magazine, right? With nothing. I'm 25, like, I had nothing, right? I worked at Italian restaurants in Rochester to pay my bills, but during the day I was an illustrious magazine publisher, right? And I just called on high schools to carry the magazine. I called on colleges to advertise, and by the third issue, I was making a good profit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a risk that paid off, because then we franchised it and we had it all over the country within about 7 years, like every high school, every major high school. It was a beautiful business until that darn digital revolution kind of dictated that print and teens were no longer viable, and mm-hmm, you know, put it all online and sold it, right? But that was a risk that launched my entrepreneurial career. I got, quote unquote, lucky that my first gig, my first, you know, kind of entrepreneurial adventure worked out very well,
mm-hmm,
into a multi-million dollar adventure. I've done some things after that haven't worked out, but I just, you know, try again.
But you don't stop. Right.
Right.
Exactly.
You keep going.
The key to being a real entrepreneur, part of the reason you're a serial entrepreneur is that you've had a couple bumps, and it made you do another one.
Exactly.
And then another one.
Yep.
And now I'm a freaking serial entrepreneur.
Right.
Yep. Okay. But I think that your entrepreneurship doesn't come from the word serial. It comes from your soul.
Right.
Like, if you this is where you wake up every morning and you love what you do and you're on your own, you may not make enough money, but you created the money.
Right.
And you can go create more.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's not like you're making $548.21 a week. This is something where you're actually...
Well, you're creating value and you're trying to get paid for it.
Because some weeks you only make $200.
Yeah.
Tough shit.
Yeah.
Go work harder.
But, you know, year after year of that compound effect of you creating value. So, Viktor Frankl, one of my favorite guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people chase success, right? I love his quote. No, create value.
and people will show up.
Success will find you.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what I try to do. And I think that's what most true entrepreneurs do is, yeah, they want to make a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. I want to make a ton of money, right? But I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because I love, you know, creating this impact.
Yeah, it's impact and income. It's not just income. It's impact and income.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I have to pinch myself. I'm like, I love doing this, and I get paid for it. You know? It's a great feeling. Yeah.
And when you do it and you love it, there's a lot more emotion to it, and that is the part that's transferable.
Yeah.
The emotion is always transferable. The logic of it is almost never transferable.
Right. Absolutely. Well, people say, David, you're so positive. I'm like, it's because I love what I freaking do. I wake up with joy. I'm like psyched, you know, I'm psyched to wake up, right?
So you told us that story about like being 25 and taking this risk. Some people may argue that because you were 25, you had less to lose.
You could afford to lose, yeah.
Oh, I had nothing, right? I had a Geo Prism. That's all I owned. Remember the Geo Prism?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was like, a pretty shitty car.
It was. Yeah. Totally.
So,
that's how bad it was for me.
Not as bad as the Yugo, but close.
So what would you say to someone who feels like they have way more to lose?
They got a mortgage.
Like,
they got kids.
Sure. Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's reality. You like to say, yeah, just go for it. Wife, kids, mortgage, bills, and they want to be an entrepreneur. So I mean, if I was talking to somebody like that, I would say, well, you know, you still can do that, but can you plan for it a little bit? Can you save enough money that you know, you stockpile for a year or two so that you could start this company, yet, you know, you still can take care of your family, right?
And they say, but I pay all my bills month to month.
Right. That's a tough thing then. That's a tough thing, I know. Well, then it's like, can you get investors or bank loans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is tough, right?
I'm going to go back to the Wayback Machine again. And my then wife and I went to a furniture store because we just moved into a house and it had a little den. Mm-hmm. And we needed something to sit down and watch TV on. And we're down at the shore, Long Beach Island, and they're unloading a truck of new furniture. And they brought in these big beanbag chairs. Mm-hmm. And I sat down in one. And I go, how many of these do you have? And he said, two. I said, I'll take them. Mm. They were $150 a piece. Mm. Furry ones, big furry ones.
Yeah.
I bring my friends over. And remember, this is the 60s. Mm. So everyone's inhaling.
Right.
And I bring my buddies over to my house. And I go, sit down in this. And they go, this is like the coolest thing I've ever sat in my whole life. Right. I said, how many of them do you want?
There you go.
I had orders for about 70 of them.
Yeah.
And I called the company and said, I'd like to buy 100 beanbags.
Yeah.
And they said, are you a furniture store? Mm-hmm. And I said, no. What do you care?
Yeah.
I want 70. I want 100.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, we're just in a furniture store in Long Beach Island. The guy had two.
Yeah.
I want 100.
Yeah.
No.
They wouldn't do it.
So I asked for the big boss. And I said, can you put the phone close to your ear?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah. I said, fuck you. I'll make them myself.
Right.
And that started a business because I already had sales.
Right.
Just get that.
You already had
sales. I'm willing to take a risk, but I already had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You already secured the beachhead, you know, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I figured out how to do it. I cut the bags apart, made patterns, did everything in my basement, put an ad in the paper for seamstress. Mm-hmm. To work at home.
Yeah.
200 calls in the first 2 hours.
Wow, my God.
I picked 5 women at random, hired them, and they stayed with me the whole time I had the company.
So you had a beanbag company?
Yeah.
Was that your first company?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
My first own company. And ended up moving to a factory, making my own beans, all kinds of stuff. But I had beans in my underwear for years.
Right. Oh, what is it?
But the bottom line is, I was the chief salesperson. Mm. And I was the chief manufacturer.
Yeah.
And there was $2,000 worth of fabric on the table. So I was also the cutter. Thank God in my dad's business, I learned how to work every tool.
Yeah.
So we had a genuine business based on the fact that I had sales first.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
Think about that, diehards. Think about that, entrepreneurs. I had enough money from other people to go do it.
Yeah.
Now, in fairness, the bank gave me $25,000.
Mm-hmm.
That was my seed money to do it.
Yep. Got it going.
And I had the credit. The bank gave me the money.
Yeah, yeah.
And on my third payment, I was going to be late by a day. So I go to the banker, and I said, hey, I really apologize, but I want to tell you in advance, I won't be able to pay a Friday. I'll have to pay a Monday. He goes, get out of my office.
Right. Like, no big deal, right?
Like, right. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking, like, oh, my God, yeah, I'm going to be late. They're going to come kill me.
What
a cute kid, right?
Yeah. Right. But the bottom line is, it was my responsibility to make sure that I paid on time.
Yeah.
The bank blew the banker away. Right. He said, I'm walking out. He goes, by the way, no one's ever said that to me before.
Right. It would be a day. Yeah,
cool.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But he trusted you from that out. Credibility, right?
Totally.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. That business literally launched my entrepreneurship to tell me that I could have a factory, make the products, go to New York City, buy stuff, go to Philly, buy stuff, come back, put it all together, and then take it out of my car and sell it. I should tell you one other story. I bought an old Chrysler station wagon to deliver the bean bags, stuffing it all full and everything. It cost me $500. It had like 50,000 miles, who knows what. I drove it for 2 years, and one day, I never did anything but put gas in it. One day, it just died on the highway. I'm like driving on the Black Horse Pike, and I rolled it over to the side of the road and left it there.
That was it.
I hitchhiked back home. There was no reason. There was no reason for me to try to fix that car. It owed me nothing.
The 60s were great.
It owed me nothing. Exactly. Yep. I hitchhiked back to my house and done.
Yeah. You probably did you have the long hippie hair and just got picked up?
I did have longer hair. Yeah. Yes, I did. Let's put it this way. I had hair.
Right.
Yeah.
But I did have longer hair. But the bottom line was, it was a different time when you were willing to take that risk in order to be able to win.
Yeah.
My statement is, if you're not willing to risk your last $10 in your business on yourself, then you're not really willing to go into business for yourself.
Right.
You better go get a job, because you're going to be chicken shit the whole year.
And I think a big piece of that is investing in yourself, buying, for me, it was cassettes, right? Mm-hmm. Like when I started my business, I bought you, I bought Brian Tracy, I brought Earl Nightingale, I bought Zig Ziglar, I brought Tony Robbins, right? And that was as Brian Tracy says,
of course,
my university on wheels, right?
Yeah.
I just, as I drove, I'm listening to this stuff, you know?
James Wedmore. Had $90, spent $80 in the bookstore. One of them was on my book.
Yeah, you got to do it.
I'm like, whoa, that was a killer. That was a total killer.
That's investing in yourself. And I like what you said, too. I mean, it's a great point about having the sales lined up in advance before you launch.
That's a great method.
It gives you confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I had total confidence that I could do this.
You know, you already had
the
orders.
Sell it before you make it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a whole
And I went out and found, I made friends with a guy who was a furniture store sales rep for the company that I told to fuck off.
Oh my God.
We became really good friends. Mm-hmm. And I said, can you sell my stuff on the side? He goes, sure. So now I have a rep in Philly who's selling all my selling stuff for me. I said, do you know any other people? He goes, well, I know one other guy. Okay, fine. Would he sell my stuff on the side? Oh, sure. Right. And that's how you do it.
Yep. No, it reminds me of, I have a friend in Rochester who builds like mini plazas, you know, like these.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he won't start building it until he has the first anchor tenant signed up.
Yes.
So his costs are, we'll say, kind of covered, he knows, you know, and then builds out from there.
That's smart.
I was coaching a guy who wanted to start a business. He did those renderings, you know, like before something's built, looks really beautiful. And he was working for a bigger company that an architecture firm, and he was the rendering guy, but he wanted to go on his own. But he was scared. I said, why don't you talk to the boss, say you want to go on your own, but can they be your first client? Because they'll probably be excited, because now they're paying you less on contract, no benefits, and now you got your first client. And that was the answer. So he quit, bought his own computer, and had his own business, and he already had his first client. So I think what you just said is very important.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the structure of entrepreneurship revolves around sales.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have the greatest idea in the world. If nobody wants to buy it, it doesn't mean shit.
Right.
Hence the name of our show. Sell or die. So,
yeah.
David, is there anything else that you want to make sure to tell our diehards before?
Yeah, because we're throwing you out.
I know. I'm going already. I felt like it was just got started. You know?
Groucho Marx. Hello, I must be going.
I'm being escorted out. No, I want the coffee, please. So I would say for entrepreneurs and people that I work with, a lot of people that are thinking about being an entrepreneur too, and try to, you know, coach them into starting mm-hmm. a business.
Are you the right fit for right. entrepreneurship?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And we'll talk about the risks and what's mm-hmm. involved, but we'll just try to figure it out. Like a lot of things we just talked about. Do you have the passion for it? Are you set up financially to withstand the first 2 to maybe 4 years mm-hmm. of getting that flywheel turning sometimes, mm-hmm. right? Are you willing to, you know, get up at 5 and work till 10? You know, do you, can, you know, is your wife, husband,
kids? Are you willing to double your work hours?
Right.
From your job.
For half the pay or, right. or zero. Right.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Like for me, I worked at, I was, you know, by, like I told you, by the, during the day, I was a magazine publisher. Ooh, right. Mm-hmm. But by night, I'm freaking serving meatballs. Right. And right. ravioli as a waiter. Right.
Yeah.
And but, you know, so Rochester, New York has Tom Galassano, who started Paychex. Right. And, you know, serving meatballs, I met his executive assistant. And I said, I gave her my brand new little business card, 25 years old. And I'm like, hey, I just started a business. Do you think Tom would meet with me? And she looked at me. She goes, probably not, but I'll ask him. Right. And then a week later, she's like, believe it or not, he'll meet with you. Meet him at, you know, Northside Inn, you know, for lunch. The guy spent 2 hours with me. I brought a notepad, wow. took tons of notes. He gave me a piece of advice that totally shifted my business. And we're friends today.
That's
like, was
cool.
it 25 years later, whatever it is.
Cool.
But because you take these little chances.
You
too.
Asked.
Yeah. You
yeah.
asked. Yeah. And it was an opportunity that allowed me to do that. So I think that's a big thing. I mean, so I've been, you know, went out to dinner with Jeffrey last night and this morning. And you're talking to everybody. Right. I think you said hello to everybody that we ran into. Mm-hmm. And you never know where that leads to. And
yeah.
we talked about some instances where it led to some amazing opportunities in sales. Right.
Right.
So be nice to the guy in the bathroom handing out the towels.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
It's true.
I'm in LaGuardia Airport and I'm going into the city. And I go in the men's room, and I'm peeing, and I look to the left, and it's Hal Linden.
Oh,
the
yeah?
The guy who played Barney Miller.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I said, the great equalizer of men. And he
nice.
Almost peed on his shoes.
Right.
Which, by the way, were hush puppies.
Right.
Of course. And I said, are you going to the city? He goes, yeah. I said, you want to split a cab?
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, yeah.
Yeah.
So now I'm riding in a cab with right. Hal Linden, and I said, let's go to where the Third Precinct is.
Mm-hmm.
And so he takes me into Archie Bunkerland.
Right.
Into, what's the suburb? Come on.
Well,
Queens?
No, no, well, no. It is Queens, but you go through this one part of New York, and I can't remember what it is right mm-hmm. now. I apologize.
Not Jamaica Heights or anything?
No. It's right there by the airport. Anyway, we drive through, and he's telling me all the stuff about the city and about Barney Miller and yeah. Archie Bunker, and it was just the most...
Just because you happen to say hello.
He paid for the whole cab. He paid for the whole cab.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because
cool.
you're... Said hello to him while you're peeing next to him.
Right.
I love it. I don't usually talk to other ladies through the stalls, but I'll think about that.
You could say nice shoes or
don't
something.
Girls always talk, don't girls always talk in the ladies' room?
When they go in together.
Got it.
Yeah.
You don't know them, right?
No,
yeah.
exactly.
I got it. Okay,
yeah.
cool.
All right, awesome. So where can people find out more information?
Yeah, they can go to avantientrepreneur.com. And they can learn how to spell entrepreneur, which is exciting. Everyone, you know, and it is. I know you love France and Paris, and entrepreneur does stem from a French word, mm-hmm. entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. And so avantientrepreneur.com. I have all my podcast episodes there, coaching programs, just different ways of they can engage
cool.
with us.
By the way, if you can't spell entrepreneur, if you just do Avanti and then misspell entrepreneur, Google, Mother Google will fix
That's
it for
right.
you.
Or
did
you
mean,
hey, stupid, did you mean?
Smart. Yeah, our diehards know how to spell it.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
They'll be
or they
fine.
Can just Google me, David Mamano, and it will come up as well. So.
Well, yeah. cool. Thank you so much
David,
for coming on our show.
Thanks for having me.
Phenomenal
awesome.
Guest. Thank
Appreciate
you so much for being here.
Thank you. It was fun.
Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe, rate, and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom.
We'll be right back.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.